going to be in Matthew chapter 6 to start off with. Matthew chapter 6, start off with there. And interesting. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. Boy, the Lord must really want this to be hit home today, because this is kind of along the same lines of Sunday school a little bit here as well. But that's good, though. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start off in verse number 24. Let's start off there, and let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that has given us your word and preserved it. And I pray you just now just help it to be understood in our hearts and lives, Holy Spirit, as you dwell within us. And as believers, just energize your word. Help us to see how it applies to our lives today, right now, in the hour in which we live. May you just get the honor and glory, Lord, with our being in attendance, listening to you and your word just now. And help us to be honor and glorifying you with our response to that same word and our decisions that we make afterwards. Help us to please you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse number 24. We're going to see here verse 24. It says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, for nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Little faith is a term we're going to look at here, little faith. And here the title of the message is See the Progression. See the Progression. In other words, understand what God is doing here with his disciples. See the progression. And progression is something that is expected by God in our lives as his children, as Christians, and in our lives for him. He wants there to be a progression. Progression is normal. When something is alive and growing and healthy, progression is normal. It's expected, and it's beneficial to the individual and those around them as well. And we're talking about spiritual progression here. We want to see the progression in the lives of the folks we're looking at in Scripture, and may we just help us understand the progression in our lives as well. Here we see that Jesus is, he's with them here, and he's teaching them. Verse 24 through verse 30, he's teaching them something, and he's with them as he's teaching and trying to help them to understand. So he's with them, and he's teaching them. And if you go to chapter 8, Matthew chapter 8, looking to start in verse number 18. We looked at a passage where Jesus was with them and he's teaching them. In verse chapter number 8 of Matthew, we see the Lord is with them, but it's in a different situation. Chapter 8, look starting in verse number 18. Starting in verse number 18, Matthew 8, verse number 18. It says there, Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus saith unto him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And another of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." But Jesus said unto him, "Follow me." Am I in the right? Yeah, okay. Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it was a great calm. Here we see the word term little faith once again, how God applies it to him, or his disciples rather, again at this time here. First of all, we saw Jesus was with them and he was teaching them. Now the Lord is with them during a storm. He's with them in the boat. And both times he calls them, he refers to them as little faith, O ye of little faith. And one more term we're going to look at again, he does the same thing. Go to Matthew chapter 14. We see he does the same thing. Matthew chapter 14, and verse starting in verse number 22. Okay, verse number 22. It says there, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Here we see once again the same term, O thou of little faith. But it's a different situation. First of all, Jesus was with them and he was teaching them. Second time we saw Jesus was with them in the boat during the storm. But this time God sends them out into a storm by themselves. Now, he didn't leave them completely alone. Obviously, he's watching the whole time. He's walking on the water to get to where they're going, and they're in the boat. And they see him, and they ask who he is. And Peter says, well, if it's you, let me walk on the water. And he gets out there, and he walks on the water. And he starts to sink because he gets distracted by the winds and everything else. And once again, Jesus used the term, O thou of little faith. And I'm going to submit to you that today that little faith may have been more of a term of endearment from the Savior rather than an admonition or like a term of rather than trying to bawl them out, as it were, but more like a term of endearment, saying, O thou of little faith, because he was with them, he taught them, and he has that term. Then he's with them in the boat during a storm, and they have the response that they do, and he says, in the same term. And then he sends them out into another storm, and he's with them walking on the water, and Peter comes out and sinks and starts to sink because he's distracted. And once again, same term. And each and every time we see the same term used by God for his disciples, O thou of little faith. He does not, in any situation, in either one of the situations, he doesn't address their failure or the situation that they're in. He doesn't address the storm. He doesn't address the situation or the people or the boat or anything like that or the waves. Each time he addresses the fact of their little faith. That's what he wants them to focus on. O thou of little faith. Because he wants them to understand that is where the problem is. O thou of little faith. The problem is not the storm. The problem is not in the boat. The problem is not in all the people in the city around them. The problem is not the ministry or the situation that they're in. The problem is the little faith, their lack of faith. And that's the same problem we have today. We think our problem is the problems that we have in the physical realm. That's what we think our problems are, but that's not our problem. The problems we have in the physical realm are part of life. Everybody has them. They're just part of life. If you're alive, if you're kicking and breathing, if you're walking around, if you're active in society, you have problems. It's part of life. Just like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it's part of life. Just like brushing your teeth, getting up, walking to the store. I mean, it's just part of, it's what you have to deal with on a daily basis. That's what we think about when we think about problems. But the problem that Jesus is trying to address here with his disciples is their little faith, their lack of faith, actually. Now, go back to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to see something else and how, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. Matthew chapter 6. Now, we left off at verse 30 last time. We're going to pick up at verse 31. He starts off and he teaches them here with the, he's with them and he's teaching them, and then he brings up the point here, oh, now little faith, because they're concerned about taking thought for raiment, taking thought of their life and so on and so forth, and just being worried about the basics of life when God promised he would take care of their needs. But that's what they're concerned about. And he says, oh, thou little faith. In verse 31, we're going to pick it up here. It says, wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What he's trying to say here and summarize in the end of that part of the chapter there is, don't be concerned about the things in your life that the world is concerned about. As a Christian, we need to get above and get past that. We need to realize the truth of the scripture where it says in verse 31, where we're concerned about, take no thought saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to be, how are our clothes and stuff, and different things like that. In verse 32, it says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God knows we need that stuff. God knows we need a place to live. God knows we need to have some food. God knows we need to have some clothes. God knows we need something to drink. He knows we have those needs. God knows those things. Amen. He created us. He created the world. He understands all of that. Don't be concerned about that stuff as a Christian. Don't be distracted by those kinds of things in your Christian life. That's what the world is focusing on. That's what the world is running the rat race for. That's what the world is head over heels and doing all they can to get this kind of stuff. That's all they're focusing on. We need, as Christians, we need to get above that and in the spiritual realm understand there's more to life than just this kind of stuff. That's why he said, oh, thou little faith. He says they're more concerned about the basics. We need to be concerned about why God saved us and what he saved us for. We need to be motivated by God and not by what we need. We need to be motivated by God and not what the situations in our life. We need to be motivated by God, not the way the world is. And as Christians, we fail in a big way. We are just like the world. We're more concerned about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to have the clothes on our back, and this, that, and the other thing, all these different things. And we do not focus the energy and the resources in our life on following God. We focus on all these things that God said he would take care of. Now, either God's going to take care of them or he's a liar. Now, we know, according to Scripture, that God cannot lie. It is against his being. He can't do it. Let God be true and every man a liar. He cannot lie. And he gave us plain Scripture more than once that he would take care of our needs. And we need to, in verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of our needs. If we're following God the way we should, God will take care of us. He will. But if we're not following God and we're trying to take care of ourselves, we're sinning two different ways. We're sinning because we're disobeying that scripture right there. And we're sinning because we're doing what God said he would do. That's his job, to take care of us. When we have children, it is understood, even in most of society today, mostly, I would say, it is understood when we have children that the parents take care of the children. when they are babies, the parents have to take care of them. They got to make sure the babies are fed. They got to make sure the babies are changed. They got to make sure they're clothed. It is the parents' responsibility. It's understood. The babies are helpless. They can't do anything on their own except holler. That's all that they can do. This is a good example because that's where we need to be spiritually. All we need to do is just holler or pray and talk to God and let Him take care of everything else for us. That's where we need to be. But in society, we are drummed into us over and over and over and over again that we have got to be our own person. We've got to take responsibility. We've got to do this. We've got to do this. We've got to make sure we take care of this. And we get that transposed over to our Christian life, and that's where the problem is. Because in our Christian walk, we are not, that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility as a child of God is to follow God. Not concerned about our needs, taking care of everything. That's God's department. And if we as a child of God, if we're busy doing like the rest of the world that doesn't know God and is apart from God and they're on their way to hell and they have no knowledge of God or anything like that, they're busy doing everything they can because they have needs. And if we do the same thing as the world, then we are short-circuiting why we got saved. Because we're saved to honor and glorify God. As a child of God, when we have needs, we have one thing we do. We just pray and let God meet those needs. We think that's just wrong. We do. We think it's wrong. And when a person like when Earl, he might come in here and talk about testimonies, how in 21 years I've never paid for a vehicle. God's always given me a vehicle. And just all these, we think that's weird. We think it's abnormal. We just think that's just not right. But in actuality, it's exactly right. We think it's so weird and abnormal because we're so far from that. He just simply depends upon God. And when he has a need and he has a vehicle that's getting up in miles or whatever, or he's got a situation where this is going to happen and whatever, he said he just starts praying and he said, well, it's about time for God to give me another car. And within a week or two, sure enough, he believes God. And I don't want to hold him up to be some kind of, you know, great thing. He's just a man being used to God, and thank God he is. But I've known him for a lot of years, and he's a blessing. But the thing is, God wants us to focus on him, not our stuff. And Jesus is saying here, he's teaching them, in Matthew chapter 6, the end of the chapter, he's teaching them once again, and he says, starting in verse 31, in verse 32, he says, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. All the things that take our attention and our focus, we need to just push those aside and focus on God. Because God knows we have need of those things. God will take care of us. I mean, he's our Heavenly Father. If there's ever been a perfect parent, it's God. If there's ever been a perfect father, it's God. He knows exactly what we need, when we need it, and how much we need it, and where we need it. I mean, he's perfect. There is no fault finding with God in our life. The fault is always us or our blame. He knows when we have a need. Now, we may not get everything we want. And what child does? If they're raised the correct way, they never do get everything they want. Because not everything's good for them. God is a perfect parent. We get some of our wants, amen. Sometimes I don't even have an opportunity to pray about something. I just think about something. And lo and behold, next day, there it is. That's good. And I rejoice. That's exactly what I say. I say, amen. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. Now, sometimes it may happen at work. It may happen sometimes where I'm not at church, but I just can't help it. The amen's going to pop out, and I'll sit and I'll get the weird looks, but I don't really care anymore. I just want to make sure that I give credit where credit is due. Because, listen, that just helps me to understand, yes, God loves me. and he cares, and he knew that I was thinking about that. That just gives me goosebumps, amen? Because he's real. He's alive. And we need to live in a spiritual realm of things and not get past this being concerned and using all our resources and all our energy running the rat race of the world and get above that thing and realize we're here for him. There are people across the world that our missionaries are ministering to that we're praying for and supporting, people around us in America, excuse me, in Kentucky, that have needs that far outweigh our physical needs, and we are here to be a light and a salt and a beacon to those people, but we're so wrapped up in the rat race, we don't get into the spiritual level and be the light and salt we need to be to those people's needs spiritually. Spiritually, we are to be a light and a salt to this world in which we live, but we are not many times. In Matthew chapter 8, the second part of that chapter, starting in verse number 27, he's teaching them in chapter 6 of Matthew. In chapter 8, starting in verse number 27, in chapter 6, he's talking about teaching them about all things. And then chapter 8, starting in verse number 27, finishing off where we stopped after the great calm of the storm, says in verse 27, "But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Understand right away that these are the same people that are in the boat with him. Now they're scared of him. They were scared of the storm, but now they're scared of him because he took the storm away. Fear should not be part of our life as a Christian. God does not... fear is not something God wants in our lives. It's not from the Lord. Fear comes from somewhere else. But it says, "The men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him?" They didn't even know who he was. They're talking about their own Savior, the one that was there with them in a boat. In verse 28, "When he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, as so no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have ye to do with us, Jesus, thou Son of God? Thou art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of swine, many fine swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. He said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. Behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their way into the city and told everything what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus when they saw him, and they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts." He was teaching them. In chapter 6, the second half of the chapter, he's teaching us about all things. Here, he's training them. In Matthew chapter 8, second part of the chapter, last part of the chapter, here he says all, he was focused on was all things. Here, it's the whole city. The whole city is the focus here. And the whole city came out in verse 34, and they rejected Jesus. They said, "You can hit the road, pal. We saw what you did. That wasn't very nice. You can leave." But what he did was a lesson for us today as well. He came into the country and met two possessed with the devils coming out of the tombs. Now, this whole city knew these guys were there. They knew they were possessed of devils. They knew they were some bad dudes, I guess you'd call them in today's vernacular. But they could do nothing about them. Here, Jesus takes care of the problem. He gets all the demons out of there, sends them off to the pigs, and the pigs all choke themselves, falling into the sea. They all die. And I want you to realize, it's not written in Scripture here, but you need to understand that demons are spiritual creatures. When those pigs died in the water, the demons didn't die. They're just looking for some other place to dwell. Need to get that. Okay? You need to get that. Demons need a body to dwell in. They don't have a body of their own. They're spiritual creatures. But God takes care of them. All the demons are out of these two guys now, and they're released from their living hell. They're released from it by God, and praise the Lord for it. And he does all this here. And the town says, okay, what you did was very bad. You caused all those pigs to die, and those guys lost their way of living. And you can just hit the road, pal. We don't want it. We need to realize the whole city has a need that they're not even aware of. They have the need, a spiritual need. Now, that city is focused on one thing, money, a loss of income. These guys that had these pigs, a herd of swine, that was their livelihood. They would take these pigs and they would slaughter them, they'd sell them, they'd butcher them, whatever you want to do, have a barbecue, sell ribs, pig's feet, whatever it is. That was their livelihood. Now, their livelihood, their money, their source of income is all gone now. And it's all God's fault. He did it. We saw him do it. Get him out of here. They are missing the point. And the fact is, most Christians are right there with them. They're missing the point of what happened. He had a spiritual victory that day. Those demons were, those guys were released from the bondage of those demons. They had the freedom that they did not have before. And Jesus is asked to leave because of what he did. Christians, we need to realize the spiritual reality of what goes on in this world today. As we watch the news that is just bombarding us day after day after day, don't fall into the trap of the world and go the same route that the world is doing and just be strung along by the world and the news that they're dreaming thrown in front of you. Stop and think and realize God's in charge. This book is true. Heaven is real, and the spiritual realities are not being told to you over the TV set. You need to get along with God. You need to pray and realize and depend upon the Spirit of God that indwells you and realize what's really going on in this world. And the biggest need in this world is Jesus Christ. It's not balancing a budget. It's not getting something passed so the government doesn't shut down for whatever it is. I would love the government to shut down. That'd be beautiful. Only thing I can see bad about it is the military suffers. But other than that, hallelujah, let them shut down for a while. The biggest need we have in our life is Jesus Christ. The biggest need this world has is Jesus Christ. The biggest need the city had is Jesus Christ. They don't see it. They told him to hit the road because why? Money was influenced. He did something that just stopped the income, and well, that's wrong. And they're wrong. But we need to make sure we don't follow the same line of thinking the way the world does. And if we're not in the Word of God the way we should be, if we're not being taught by the Spirit of God this Word the way we should be on a daily basis, if we're not living with a spiritual mindset that we should have, we're going to follow the way the world is. There's no middle ground in this matter. I mean, we're going to either follow God or we're not going to follow God. And listen, that's what God is looking at. God is looking at you. He's looking at me. He's looking at this church. Are we going to follow God or not? And if we make the right decision to follow him, he will honor that. He will bless that. If we do not do that, he will not honor that, and he will not bless that. Amen. Now, he's merciful. He's gracious. But listen, God wants to pour out the blessings, the windows of heaven. He wants to open them up and have a deluge come down and flood us, not just have a pitter-patter of blessings every once in a while. We're accustomed, that's how life should be, a pitter-patter of blessings. God's not limited to do that. He wants to unload, but why can't he? Because of unbelieving, having lack of faith in Christians in this world today. That's why he can't. Many mighty things there because of their unbelief. I can't think of where that's at, but it's somewhere in Matthew. God was limited what he could do. Why? Because of their unbelief. God's limited what he can do with us. Why? Because of our unbelief. When the city comes out and tells Jesus to hit the road, that pretty much limits what he can do in that town. Amen? He's told to leave. He said, but he's God. He's this. Yes, he is. But he's limiting himself to a body. in this time of his ministry. He's limiting himself to a body to lead the disciples to go through different things. And when he's asked to leave the town, he understands why, the motive inside the hearts of the town. He sees a situation, and they're limiting what he can do. And he can do all things, amen, he's God, but they said, you need to leave. You've taken away what these folks were depending upon. So he teaches us in chapter 6. Here he's training us to understand, listen, this is what it's really about. It's a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual situation that we are supposed to be a part of. And look in chapter 14, of Matthew chapter 14, second half of that chapter, Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 32. It says there, short part here, but it says, when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and when they were in the ship, came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Here he taught them in chapter 6. He's training them in chapter 8. And here in verse chapter 14, to keep the alliteration going, he turns them out. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and they went into the whole city. When the men of that place had knowledge of him, how did they get that knowledge of him? Because the disciples were going out there telling people about the Lord's here, and the Lord can take care of their needs. They sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased. They knew where the people were that were diseased. They knew where the people were that had needs. And then now they knew there was somebody that could do something about it. There's people that we know of in our lives that have situations, that have the disease or whatever it is. We know they're all over the place. But as children of God, we need to be the people saying, hey, I know somebody that can take care of that. But we don't do that. We don't. We're just like the rest of the world. We know where they are. We feel sorry for them. We are in our carnality. We feel sorry for them. You know, we shed a tear for them, whatever. But we don't take them to God. We don't bring them to God like we should. It doesn't matter what the need is in any place in humanity. Every need is, it's Jesus Christ. I don't care if it's a spiritual manifestation with a disease or whatever it is. Every need is the same. It's Jesus Christ. He can meet every single need. Whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's financial, or whatever it is, Jesus Christ can meet every single need. He is the biggest need we have. He's the biggest need this world has. And he's trying to teach these guys that their biggest problem as children of God, as disciples, is not their problems, it's their lack of faith in those problems. Our faith needs to be strengthened. Our faith needs to be bolstered. Our faith needs to be reinforced. That's why we have church service. That's why we read our Bible. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll close off with this right here. Ephesians chapter 6. Talking about faith. Maybe this will help cement some things for you. Ephesians chapter 6, go back to the end of the chapter there where it talks about the armor. Talking about faith here. Don't have time, so we're just going to jump right to it. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Taking the shield of faith. Understand the progression here, stay with the theme of the message, the progression here of our faith. Imagine that when we first get saved, we were issued armor, okay? And we have issued to us a shield. Because throughout Scripture, it says to have your faith increased, to have your faith be strengthened, to grow your faith and different things like that. So we get the idea and the principles throughout Scripture that our faith should grow, should be getting bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Amen. That's true. So understand this here. When we are issued our shield of faith that we have in our spiritual walk with the Lord, our spiritual walk for Him, we have issued our shield of faith. When we first get saved, it's going to be a small shield of faith. It's going to be small, sort of like about the size of a pie plate or a frisbee, okay? It's small. It's there. It can get the job done, but we got to do a lot of this here. We got to dodge. We got stuff. But as we grow in our walk with the Lord, our faith is supposed to grow as well. And that faith, that shield gets bigger, and we can do a little bit more. We can get more stuff done. We're not busy doing all this anymore. We can pretty much just, eventually we'll want to get to the point where the shield of faith is like that door, where we can just stand behind it, do everything we need to do. We don't have to do this dodging anymore. We can just stand there, have that thing get its job done, and we can be doing what we need to do over here and get the work done. We're not busy dodging everything, trying to hit everything He shoots at us. We just got to get behind that faith and be settled and secure and take care of business. The darts are still coming. The fiery darts are still coming. They will never stop until God takes us out of here. But when we get to that point where our faith has increased and has grown and it's like that door, we can stand behind that, behind our faith, and do everything we need to do. All of our energy can be focused toward this way here, toward the needs, instead of just trying to dodge everything we see coming at us. Early on in our Christian walk, sure, it's like that, because we're dodging, because we're growing. Our faith is small. It needs to expand into our spiritual growth. Growth needs to happen in our life. And we use a lot of energy to try to dodge all those things, but after a while, the faith grows, and we'll have that door like that, and we can just set it there, stand behind it, and it's a done deal, and we can go on for God. Because those needs are still there. Those needs are growing on a daily basis, getting more and more. That's why our faith grows, so we can be secure behind it, have it done, and go on for God. Because the fiery darts are never going to stop. But if we don't grow our faith, as our life goes on for the Lord, and the fiery darts keep coming, and the needs in our life grow, the influences in our life and the avenues of service grow in our life, we're still trying to do this here, and we're using resources and time and energy that need to go this way, and we're doing this still 20, 30 years later. It ain't working that way. They're suffering. They're suffering because our faith is little faith. Did you get that? Did it sink in? That's what Jesus is trying to point out to those guys when He said, "Oh, ye of little faith." He says, get to the point where your faith can get the job done it needs to do for you so you can do what you need to do for God. We got saved so God could use us. Let God use you. But get past the pie plate faith. Grow your faith. Get into the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit teach you His Word. He wrote it. Let it be. Get into the Word of God till the Word of God gets into you and you respond this way when something happens. You respond God's way when something happens and your faith is growing. It's strengthened. It's going to be bigger. So now you can be used to help them because they're still there. And their needs are getting more and more and more the longer we live. More people have avenues and needs in our lives, around us, in our families. Just think about your own family. We need to have our faith strengthened to the point where we can stand behind it and do what we need to do. That little pie plate faith, it's good to start off with, amen, so we can see it grow. We can see God do something that awesome. I remember back in the day when we were just dodging them all the time, but praise the Lord, we just get that door set down there and it's anchored. Amen. Our faith is anchored. We get behind that thing and, man, we can go on to town now. We can meet the needs now. Sure, them fiery darts are still coming. We can hear them hitting, but they ain't going to get through. Amen. Little faith, that's our problem. Amen. When you're in battle, who's going to want a pie plate as opposed to something like that? Not anybody in his right mind. I mean, a pie plate's better than nothing, amen. But I'd rather have that bad boy right there, amen. Amen. Little faith, that's our problem. Is that, do you see your problem? Is that little faith today? Amen. Listen, there's a cure for that. It's Jesus Christ. I'm not saying you need to get saved. I just need you to get in the book. Get into the book and get that book inside of you so you start responding God's way. You start thinking God's way. You start living God's way, and your faith starts to grow. When you pray and talk to God, amen, does God answer your prayers? That's supposed to increase your faith. When you have situations happen in your life and you didn't even have time to pray about something, and you say, well, God, he did it. That's supposed to increase your faith. Let your faith be strengthened from this right here and from your walk with the Lord. Amen. You are a spiritual creation of God. Don't be stuck in the mire of this world. Rise above it by the power of God, according to his word, so your faith can be strengthened, so you can go on for God, and you won't be stuck with the label of just little faith. Don't be a baby Christian your whole life. Grow up and progress, and let God use you, because your faith has been strengthened, and it's big enough now where you can depend upon God no matter what. You can stand behind your faith in God. Know it's there, know it's secure, know it's anchored, and do what God wants you to do. That's where we're supposed to go. That's where we're supposed to be as a Christian and as a church. We need to get there. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Please, if you would, bow your head and close your eyes. Listen, God spoke to me, spoke to you, spoke through me, but he spoke to me, amen. And I praise the Lord for that. I love it when God communicates, takes time out of his time that he has. I mean, just Almighty God takes time out just to spend time with me. It amazes me every day. But thank God he did it again today as he spoke to me through the preaching. And now I pray you just speak back to God. Just help him know that you heard it, first of all, that you understand it. And by God's grace, you want to do more than just have a pie plate faith. Amen. You want to have that faith grow. And depend upon him to grow it for you. Look, get into the Word of God until the Word of God gets into you. And help the Holy Spirit to be the number one person you talk to. And help him be the number one person you go to. Help it to be a change now. You're a child of God. You're his. Live like that. Depend upon him, not anybody else. He's your Heavenly Father. Make decisions he would have you to make. Amen. He owns you, lock, stock, and barrel. He literally bought and paid for you with the blood of Jesus Christ. Live that way, amen. If God's spoken to your heart, listen, do business with God in the pew or come down here. Just do business with God. Talk to him and let him know that this message didn't go in one ear and out the other. God wants us so much have our faith to grow and not be people of just a little faith. He wants us so much to get past that and grow and have a progression so he can do more in this world that needs him so badly. He wants to use you and me to do it. Help us to let him to do that, amen? Let us allow him to do that. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, if anybody, Lord, just wants to spend time talking to you, just help them to do that just now in the pew or in the altar, come forward, Lord, and if anybody here who's not sure of salvation, they just don't know sure, 100% sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they're going to go to heaven, help them to cement that truth down. Help them to get that down pat and just have no more doubts as far as that's concerned. Lord, you did it all for us with Calvary. You went to the cross on purpose. You died and paid for all of our sins. And Lord, it's just simply receiving what you have done, your shed blood, to our account that gives us salvation. Help us just to get that settled today if it's not the case. We should have no doubts at all about our salvation because you have done everything for us. Help us just to simply trust you completely and rejoice and revel and enjoy that trust and that peace that comes with that. If you're not sure, 100% sure you're going to heaven, listen, trust Jesus Christ. He's all you need to do. Just pray and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect, and I'm not really sure about going for sure I'm going to heaven, but I just want to trust you completely. Just please help me just trust you completely and trust your shed blood for my sins that you shed on the cross of Calvary, your shed blood to apply to my sins and take my sins away as only you can. Help me to trust you so that I can go to heaven. Help me to get it cemented down. Help me to know for sure, based upon Scripture, Lord, that I'm saved because of what you did for me. But as many as believed him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. Believe what he has said. Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. Trust him today. If you're saved, if you've already been saved, listen. It's time to get rid of that pie plate faith and let it grow and be useful, not just for yourself, but for the cause of Jesus Christ as well. Help that faith to grow. Get to the point where it's like that door and it's anchored and it's settled and you can go behind that door and that faith, no matter what happens, and do what needs to be done. Don't you want that to be in your life? What Christian wouldn't want that? Amen. It's available. But if we get into the Word of God and allow that faith to grow, help us, Lord. Help us a little faith. Like Peter prayed, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Help us, Lord, to grow in our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.